KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly sunny sky at 73 degrees. We look for variably cloudy skies today with chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high of 92. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. Police in Creston report three people were arrested Monday. 38-year-old Darrell Hayes of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was later released on a $300 bond. 28-year-old Scott Damon and 42-year-old Richard Starlin, both of Creston, were arrested on separate violations of their protection orders. Both men were being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Creston police said also there were two reports of vandalism. On Sunday, a resident of the 1100 block of Higbee Street in Creston reported that sometime between 10 p.m. May 26th and noon on May 27th, someone broke a large window on the south side of the residence. The damage was estimated at $175. And Monday morning, a Forest City man told Creston police someone keyed the passenger side doors and hood of his vehicle while it was parked in a lot at 806 Laurel Street. The damage there estimated at $200. Well, a witness has come forward with new sworn testimony that suggests the wrong man may have been in prison for 31 years in the slaying of a Western Iowa girl. The testimony comes in the case of Daniel Harris, who maintains his innocence in the 1986 stabbing and beating death of 16-year-old Christina Nelson in Council Bluffs. Harris's lawyers say they're convinced he's the victim of a miscarriage of justice and are seeking new proceedings they say will prove he was framed. The new testimony comes from Ricky Lee Smith, who was at an underage drinking party with Nelson's boyfriend the night of the homicide. He says in an affidavit that Nelson's boyfriend and his friend left the party to pick Nelson up and returned covered in blood hours later. Well, for the third day in a row, Monday, Atlantic set a record high temperature. The old record for Monday was 95 in 1895. Our high yesterday was 97. We also set records Saturday and Sunday, hitting 100-degree marks both days. The old record for Saturday was 96 in 1926. The record for Sunday was 95 in 1895. KJAN is the official National Weather Service reporting and record-keeping site for Atlantic. The experts say our region's weather patterns will likely be changing for warmer and wetter in the seasons ahead, but how much they'll change is still anybody's guess. Meteorologist Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA's Midwest Climate Hub based in Ames, explains.
La Nina is no longer. CPC is officially saying La Nina is done. So now we are in between phases, or the jokingly called La Nada, and we'll start watching about how quickly we can transition or if there's any influences look El Nino-ish like as we look towards the fall and winter.
La Nina patterns often bring cooler temperatures along with more storms in some areas and droughts elsewhere. El Nino patterns typically do the opposite. Toddy said the region's outlook for the month ahead will likely include more rain than normal.
June has wetter chances to the east with decreasing coverage into summer. That is, again, an interesting feature we'll have to keep our eye on. No specific, because there's no specific drying or showing in the outlooks, but we will need to monitor for changes because convective season precipitation is a very difficult thing to assess.
A few months ago, there was a lot of grumbling about the long, cold winter that stretched well into spring. Toddy said there may soon be a complete reversal with prolonged higher temperatures in the long-range forecast.
Warmer likely for the whole region June, but the edges of the area we deal with have a better chance of being warmer throughout the whole summer.
He says the development of an El Nino pattern later this year could have an impact on the weather from next winter into next spring. Thousands of people lost power when a powerful thunderstorm swept through several communities in northern Iowa Monday. Howling winds of up to 70 miles per hour were reported Monday evening as hail pounded the Clear Lake Mason City area. Several trees were toppled, power lines were knocked down, and a dock was destroyed on Clear Lake, but no injuries were reported. Alliant Energy said the outages peaked at just over 10,000 customers, but power was expected to be restored to everyone by late this morning. Street flooding was also reported in some low-lying spots, especially under viaducts. Authorities say they'll resume a search today for a man missing since his kayak overturned on the Des Moines River in Fort Dodge. Fort Dodge Fire Chief Steve Hergenter says the man and his wife were kayaking below the hydroelectric dam when both kayaks flipped at around 3:30 p.m. Monday. The woman swam to shore, but her husband was swept away by the river. He was last seen about 100 yards from the dam. No names have been released. The fire chief says volunteers will not be needed for today's search of the water and shoreline. Authorities in northeast Iowa are investigating a weekend drowning at a Chickasaw County quarry that's a popular place for local swimmers. Sheriff Marty Hemmen confirmed Monday that 17-year-old Sam Hake died in an apparent swimming accident at Chickasaw Park near Ionia. Emergency vehicles from numerous agencies converged on a park at around 3:15 p.m. Saturday. Hake's body was recovered from the park's quarry a short time later. According to Hemmen, an autopsy is planned. Hake was a student at the Nashua Plainfield High School who was finishing his junior year. District administrators made counselors available at the school Monday morning. Hake's drowning at Chickasaw Park occurred nearly 2 days, or rather 2 years to the day, when another high school student died in the same quarry. 18-year-old Christopher Balvans of Hawkeye drowned while swimming with friends May 25, 2016, just days before his scheduled graduation from the Sumner Fredericksburg High School. Two people have died in an eastern Iowa crash involving a car and a motorcycle. Authorities say officers responded to the crash in Waterloo at around 5:40 p.m. Saturday. The driver of the motorcycle and a passenger in the car died at the scene. The car's driver was taken to a hospital with serious injuries. No names have been released, and the crash remained under investigation. Well, many Iowans are getting their bicycles tuned up and ready for a summer full of riding. Cycling enthusiasts are also hoping it's a much safer season than recent years. According to the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, 11 people died in bicycle crashes in the state in 2016. 9 of those crashes involved collisions with vehicles. Roger White, with the group Cedar Valley Cyclists in Cedar Falls, says lawmakers could do much more to protect people pedaling along Iowa's highways.
It's very difficult to prove reckless driving, and so there's a void in the law. And one of the things that would help is if the legislature would pass full lane passing of bicyclists and at the same time increase the penalties for driving distracted.
White is suggesting that cars be required to move into another lane while passing bikes. Others have called for a 3 or 5 foot passing clearance.
Neither of those is enforceable because you have two vehicles moving down the road at the same time, and the vehicle driver is sitting way over on the left side. It's very difficult to judge the distance from the opposite side of the vehicle while you're going 55 or whatever miles an hour. The only thing that's clear is you know when you're in the opposite lane or not. So full lane passing is the solution for that.
White and many other bicyclists are also calling for greater penalties in Iowa for motorists who are found at fault for hitting a cyclist. He says many times a motorist is only charged with failure to yield, even if the cyclist is killed or seriously injured. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.